The following audio file was recorded on April 8th in Nashville, Tennessee by Earnhardt Productions Incorporated at a voting rights and election reform conference titled Gathering to Save Our Democracy. It has been uploaded to the site courtesy of the January 30th Coalition, an Ohio-based voting rights group which endorsed the conference. You are welcome to copy and distribute or broadcast this recording. Please also consider making a donation to Radio for All so that recordings like this one can continue to be made available.
To open us this evening, I've asked Reverend Paul Miller to say an invocation. So, Reverend Miller, if you could join us.
For the record, I'm not a reverend, but I will open up with a prayer. Shall we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today to thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. We ask that you guide us through this endeavor. Let us know that it is your will that we're seeking to complete and do, and it is for the best interest of this nation that we've come together to embark upon this important journey. We ask that you guide us. We bring your divine intervention into our midst. Let us know and understand that we want to do just what's right. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.
We're also honored to have Kelvin Jones, who is the head of the Nashville Human Relations Commission and president of the Napier-Luby Bar Association, to give a welcome for the city of Nashville.
Bernie, thank you very much. On behalf of our mayor, Bill Purcell, I want to welcome each of you all here to Nashville. I know that you come from all around the country. And so I thought I'd tell you just a little bit about our city. It is the largest metropolitan area in the state of Tennessee. We are also a capital city. But more importantly, Nashville is a city which has been a catalyst for change. Bernie mentioned that I was the director of the Metro Human Relations Commission. Well, it was back in 1965 when this commission became the first human rights agency of its kind in the state of Tennessee. You will also remember that Nashville was a city, a catalyst for change during the Civil Rights Movement, when we had the student sit-ins here in Nashville. But even prior to that, Nashville also had an opportunity to be a place of change. And that's when the women's suffrage movement took place right here. And it was here in Nashville that women were able to broker the right to vote. So it is quite appropriate that this conference would be here this weekend. So on behalf of our mayor and on behalf of our city, we want to thank each of you for all that you've done and continue to do to both protect our democracy, but even more importantly, to protect one of our most fundamental rights, that being the right to vote. So thank you all, and we certainly hope that you enjoy this weekend.
I'm Bernie Ellis, one of the organizers for our local ad hoc nonpartisan election reform and election justice group, Gathering to Save Our Democracy. Tonight represents the 25th gathering that our group has held since December 12th, when we were one of, I believe, 41 states that chose to have people concerned about the sanctity of our franchise show up at their state capitals and make a noise together. So we were pleased to be one of those 41 states on December 12th. We were even more pleased to be singular in our returning to our state capital the next week when the weather felt a great deal like the Ukraine. I think it was 0 degrees on the state capitol steps. And from day one, you notice some of us have on orange ribbons. We wear those at every one of our gatherings to show that one of the oldest democracies can still learn from one of the youngest democracies when it comes to standing up and being heard when the franchise is threatened. So if you're wondering why we're wearing these orange ribbons, we'll be happy to tie one on you out there at the break. This has been an interesting 6 months for the country. And I think the fact that we have at least 26 states represented in this church tonight is a testament to a concern that goes far beyond the boundaries of the state of Ohio, to really touch every one of us. And believe it or not, it's been less than 30 days since we made the decision to do this conference. And the nation essentially responded to our suggestion in a big way. So if you are a resident of a state other than Tennessee, would you mind standing for a minute?
Great.
Welcome again. You know, this is an as politicized a time as we live in. One thing that we've enjoyed as a local ad hoc nonpartisan group is to celebrate the fact that for our many differences in the political arena, all of us can come together of good heart and mind to speak in unison for the necessity of returning to free, fair, and verifiable elections in this country. And our own ad hoc group is proud to have members from at least 6 political parties that have been with us from day one on the state capitol steps. And I think among those of you who've joined us from other states, we've added another 3 or 4 political parties to our 6. So while we might outside the confines of this sanctuary find a large number of things to argue about, we're here for 2 days to focus on the one thing we all can agree on, which is the fundamental necessity to trust our voting process if we are going to be a democracy in something other than name only. So again, I am pleased that all of you are here. I want to make just a couple of quick announcements. There is at least one national organization, United for Secure Elections, who have a number of members here, and that group would like to get together either for breakfast or lunch tomorrow, and you should see Dan Ashby, and he's helping set up those arrangements, and he's standing there in a blue shirt. So at a break, see Dan, and we'll help set that up. The essence of a grassroots organization is the ability to be flexible, and so today when we discovered that our discussion groups had been assigned to a closet, 2 locked rooms, and a non-existent room at our local campus, we were able to improvise and I think do well, and the feedback I've gotten from the discussion groups today is that they were worth attending. We are going to attempt to be fairly rigorous in keeping to our time schedule now that we're 30 minutes late. Better late than never, I guess. But obviously, those of you who have studied the program know how dense it is, how much we're trying to accomplish in the next day and a half. We could easily spend a 3-day conference focusing just on Ohio. We could spend a 3-day conference focusing on election reform. Instead, we're spending an hour and a half or so on those topics. But we are very pleased to have, I think at last count, 7 videographers here filming the conference. We're very pleased that our local team is going to be providing us the audio and video that we will be web streaming as quickly as possible to let the country hear what we're going to talk about tonight and tomorrow. We are still here to serve you if you have needs as an out-of-state visitor. check with one of us with an orange armband. And do we still have rooms at the hostel or beds available there? Are we full? Don't know. Okay. We do have a local church offering us beds at $3 a night. So if any of you came in town very late and don't have a room, you don't have to sleep in Hadley Park. We can take care of you. So again, see one of our volunteers. I very much appreciated Kelvin Jones' comments about the history of Nashville and of Tennessee in the protection of our right to vote. And we thought we'd open this evening by framing what we're here to do in some history. And this is a fairly significant time. We are at that point where we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the passage of the Voting Rights Act. And someone informed me when we first floated the idea of the conference that tomorrow represents the 140th anniversary of the end of the Civil War. So the changes that we've gone through as a country have been profound. If we don't take control of the franchise again, I fear for the changes yet to come. And so all of us are here, I think, in unison to take our country back. And there's no time too soon to do that. We are very fortunate to have as musical counterpoints to our first several speakers, and I will be taking my glasses off regularly, Zarna Surti, Mary Catherine Moore, and Anne Murray Gideon, three best friends who are high school seniors at Franklin Road Academy who've been singing together since the seventh grade, and we would like to ask them to get us started in song. And they're going to sing us two more songs. Dr. Kimbrough and Dr. Grant, if you could join us up front. And is Reverend Dixon here? I'd like these three panelists to come forward. We've asked Dr. Kimbrough to speak first, followed by Reverend Dixon, and then Dr. Grant. If y'all want to grab a seat back here. And we've asked all of these gentlemen to again help us frame the history of how much time and energy, blood, sweat, and tears it takes to both win the franchise and, I guess in our case in 2005, to win back the franchise. So Dr. Kimbrough, I'd like to start with you.
Thank you. I wanted to thank Bernie Ellis and the people who have been in the trenches for putting on this conference. It is amazing what a few and faithful people can do, and I want to acknowledge a great contribution to our country, not just our community. One of the problems, and I understand I have 10 minutes or less, one of the problems that Baptist preachers have always had, seemingly they are not able to tell time well.
Given that fact, I better grab the watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, sisters and brothers, it has been a long road, and getting to vote and having the vote takers accountable to the voter. I am to give, as I understand, a little historical perspective to voting reform, and so forth. In the arena of human history, we have always had people who made choices. Some would take the high road and some would take the low road. We see in the era of election reform, people taking the high road as being those persons such as represents this conference, who believe in including people for the worth of their citizenship. People who look beyond color, look beyond class, and do what has become known to mankind as doing the right thing. That's pretty hard to define for some people. Personal interest, group interest, get often in the way of doing what we know to be right. But be that as it may, the high road and the low road are still there. It was my privilege to have attended so many areas and concerns of human rights as relates to voting. The group was singing there, I almost found myself wanting to go back to Selma, Alabama, to again do the Selma March, because I am convinced that we shall overcome. And it will be people with minds such as are represented here tonight that will bring us to that point. When we went to Selma, we went in 1965 because there were people there who were excluded from the area of voting simply because of the color of the skin, no other reason. The low road people took the position that since these people are color, outnumber people in the majority race nationally, these people are majority in a number of counties in Alabama, in Mississippi, in Tennessee, if you please. So we must find some way to exclude them, and disenfranchisement is one of the ways of doing it. Not only was it done in Alabama, it was done in Tennessee. history, if you please. In the state of Tennessee, we have an area known as Tent City, where black people became so determined to vote that rather than be denied just to register to vote, if people deny you the right to register, what will they do when you are registered and then become eligible to vote? So to prevent that, you say you must not even be registered here. So in order to see that that process came about, sharecroppers were willing to get off of the farm of the landlords and say, well, if we can't vote, we will build our own tents. And we'll have a tent city. It became known as Tent City, but we will and are determined to vote. I went to Tuskegee. And Tuskegee, believe it or not, is in Macon County, where the whole state disenfranchised the NAACP. The NAACP has been, is, and should be a force that comes to grips with the notion of equality in all aspects of life. So in Macon County, rather than allow minorities, African Americans, to vote, they used a system of gerrymandering. And as small as Macon County is, there was a 28-sided figure, an unimaginable configuration, so that it went in and out and around the houses of black people to get them off or keep them off of the voting roll. So it's been a long road. I had the privilege, again, I've been here and there a little bit, of working, spending my summer, a major portion of my summer in 1967 in southeast Missouri. Incidentally, Rush Limbaugh is from southeast Missouri. People wanted to vote, but did not have the leadership to steer them through the process. So the NAACP nationally took on a project, had as its project in 1967, the voter registration of blacks mainly in southeast Missouri. So this is a little of the history of the effort to see that the voting process works. We're told in this country that vigilance is the price of freedom. So those who do not wish to be disturbed need to know that we will be vigilant and that we are determined to see the process through. So we say, walk together, children. Don't get worried, and don't get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the Promised Land.